Our second reading is an entire book of the Bible. But don't be afraid, it's a short book. It's a letter that Paul wrote to someone named Philemon, and this will be the basis of the sermon text today. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, to Appia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love and faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. I pray that this fellowship of your faith may become active in understanding every good thing that belongs to us in Christ. For I have received great joy and encouragement from your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. For that reason, even though I have plenty of boldness in Christ to order you to do what is proper, I am appealing to you instead on the basis of love, just as I, Paul, am an old man and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I am appealing to you on behalf of my child, Onesimus. I became his father while I was in chains. There was a time when he was useless to you, but now he is useful both to you and to me. I have sent him, who is my very heart, back to you. Welcome him. I wanted to keep him with me so that he might serve me in your place while I am in chains for the gospel, but I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that your kindness would not be the result of compulsion, but of willingness. Perhaps this is why he was separated from you for a while, so that you would have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but as more than a slave, as a dear brother. He certainly is dear to me, but he is even more of a dear brother to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So, if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. And if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, have written this with my own hand. I will repay it, not to mention that you owe me your very self. Yes, brother, I am asking for a favor from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. Just one more thing. Prepare a guest room for me, because I am hoping to be given back to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends his greetings to you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my co-workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours, from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We hear again those words from Philemon. I'll read verses 3 through 5 again. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love and faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. This is the word of our God. Let us pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, a marvelous text we have before us today, the book of Philemon. Buckle up, I know it's warm, but we're going to take an entire book of the Bible to study this morning in our sermon. And as the book is short, but the text is long, so the sermon matches that too. So hang in there. We have wonderful truths recorded for us in Scripture here. People complain about the Bible not being practical, not being useful for today, for this day and age. And yet look how practical. Look how useful the Word of God is as it guides us in our lives. So much to learn. So much to learn for our whole lives from every moment that we live on this earth in this simple letter of Paul to Philemon. And as we read it, gone. Gone are the arguments of fairness or equality. Gone are the complaints of victimization or demand for reparations. In this letter, we have an opportunity to talk about vocation, about our duty as individuals, as Christians toward one another, about integrity in our work for God and for our neighbor. We talk about fellowship among Christians. So practical, so useful. And what a joy it is to know that as Christians, Jesus makes us useful. Useful in service to each other and useful in the station in which God places us. Paul begins his letter, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus. A prisoner. That's an important word to consider in this book from Philemon. It's not the usual word that Paul uses to introduce himself, often Paul the apostle of Christ Jesus, often also Paul the servant of Christ Jesus, or a word that we translate slave to. And yet that concept of slavery in Paul's day was a common societal arrangement. There wasn't that great stigma attached to it that we have today. It's not a taboo idea. Here the word that he uses appears to be that idea, the prisoner, one who is bound against his will, held captive, being detained, unable to do as he pleases, to go where he pleases. And of course, who is this? This is the Apostle Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, the great missionary. How can he carry out his mission work as a prisoner? And yet, look what Paul says of himself. To whom he is bound, by whom he is held captive, of Christ Jesus. I am a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Yes, he was being held captive, in bondage against his will, in house arrest in Rome, and yet he doesn't complain about, he doesn't even mention that fact. What does he mention? That he's bound by Christ Jesus, held captive by him, and he's not ashamed of that or considering that a bad thing. He's proud of it. He's boasting about it. He's joyful to be captive, a prisoner of Christ Jesus. And now consider the context of the letter that he writes. He's writing to Philemon, a person who was a well-to-do man in society, so well that he even had servants of his own. And he's writing specifically about a matter of one of those servants, one of his slaves who had run away from him and likely had probably stolen money from him to fund his trip away to Rome. And yet, as we look at these two individuals, Philemon, the master, and Onesimus, the slave, Paul speaks about the important work of duty and responsibility for both of them to make them useful. There's nothing in the context of this letter that would lead us to believe that Philemon was an unjust master. Everything suggests that every aspect of his life was shaped by the grace and the peace of God that was his through Jesus Christ that we heard about at the beginning of the letter. So he was a kind master, a loving and caring Christian master to his servants. Paul calls him a dear friend and co-worker. Co-worker, too, an important word. What was that work? It was the work of sharing Christ. That's what he did. He worked to do that. It tells us that the church met in his house. Now, that wasn't an insignificant thing either. This well-to-do man in society opened up his home so that Christians could gather there and study the Word of God together. Now, understand the context of this day. It was not long after this that Nero had that great persecution where Christians had to go into hiding and go underground into catacombs to worship because they would risk losing property or possessions and even their life because they were worshiping God. And yet this man opens his house to be a church for believers to gather in. What's more, listen to what else Paul says about this man Philemon in verses 4 and 5. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers because I hear about your love and faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. There are two pairs of words in this scripture text that are most important. They must be the basis of everything that we study in scripture. They're the basis of our whole lives. This is what makes us useful as human beings. The first two pair are words that you've heard again and again. And it's the words that Paul uses to introduce his letter. So common they are that they might become just something that's spoken. And often the important purpose of it is forgotten. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace were Philemon's. He understood the grace of God. Like we sang in that opening hymn, not unto us, but to God's name be glory. Grace and peace were his. He understood the mercy of God, the mercy that we prayed about in the prayer of the day. O merciful Lord, you did not spare your only Son, but gave him up for us all. That's grace and peace. The love that we have from God our Father to not look upon us because of our sins, but to spare us instead of sparing his Son, and to give him up so that we would have peace with God, a perfect relationship with him. That's the first pair of words, grace and peace. That's what comes to us from God. The other pair of words Paul speaks about then, because we have this undeserved love of God, the second pair flow from it. I hear about your love and faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. Love and faith toward God and for our neighbor. The first pair of words produce the second pair in us. Because of God's love, his grace, and his peace that we have because of that, so we love God, and we are faithful and produce fruits of faith toward our neighbor for the benefit of our neighbor too, as the prayer goes on. Grant us courage and strength to take up the cross and follow him in showing that love and faith toward God and for our neighbor. I always thank God as I remember you in my prayers because I hear about your love and faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. Does that sound like a wicked man, an abuser, an oppressive man? Paul is thankful to God for this man. Paul remembers this man in his prayers. What is more, he hears reports about this man's love and his faith, that love and faith that's put into action toward all people, especially toward believers. Love and faith for the benefit of his fellow man. Faith always produces fruits, friends. And those fruits serve and help our neighbor. We love others because Christ loved us. We have an active faith, living itself out in fruitful labor for the benefit of our neighbor. That's what Christ drives us to do. And this man, Philemon, was such a model that Paul addresses him in this letter with such glowing words. How thankful to God he is for him, for his love and faith toward God and for the saints. He goes on to say still more about Philemon. He says, I pray that this fellowship of your faith may become active in understanding every good thing that belongs to us in Christ. For I have received great joy and encouragement from your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Paul wants him to know all the good things his love and faith have done for others. It produces fellowship. This oneness, this kinship, this brotherhood of believers. What a blessing that is. And Paul, the great apostle, he is receiving joy and encouragement about the report that he hears about Philemon. Think about that. Your love and your faith, dear Christians, they bring joy to your pastors. They bring joy to missionaries. They bring joy to your teachers. Your love brings joy to them. And finally, the hearts of saints are refreshed by your love and faith. What kindness this man Philemon showed in his life. What commendation from the Apostle Paul. Now, one of his servants, Onesimus, he was called, had run away. This Onesimus, his name means useful, but in contrast to the meaning of his name, he was anything but useful. Whereas Philemon was incredibly useful from his love and faith, born out from the fruit of faith that he had in Christ, this man was completely useless. There was a time when he was useless to you, but now he is both useful to you and to me. A slave, you would think a servant would naturally be a useful person. Even if he did his work grudgingly, he would be useful, right? Not at all. Not apart from faith. You see, Onesimus had been an unbeliever. And everything a person does, if it's not connected in faith, is entirely dead. You can be the most faithful servant. You can be the most faithful employee and worker. You can be the kindest husband, the most caring and loving spouse, the best parent of all. But if you're not a believer, every bit of it is useless. It serves nothing. It is dead. So Onesimus, at one time an unbeliever, who even if he were a perfectly dutifully and good servant and worker, was completely useless, but he wasn't even that. He ran away from his duty, from his vocation, and that was wrong, and Paul acknowledged it. But there he met Paul, and there he became a believer. There he learned about the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The love that God showed to him to forgive all of his sins and to give him peace with his heavenly Father. And that made him useful too. Now suddenly everything changed. Whatever he does, he's useful. Useful in his vocation, whatever that vocation may be. Whatever that station in life is, he was useful to Paul, and now he would be useful to Philemon as well. I became his father while I was in chains. There was a time when he was useless, but now he is useful both to you and to me, now useful as a fruitful Christian in life. So what does Paul urge Onesimus to do? Now a Christian convert. He says, go back. It was wrong to leave your master. It was wrong to run away from your duty and your responsibility as a person in life. Go back. I have sent him, who is my very heart, back to you, Paul writes to Philemon. We have various vocations in life. We ought not resent them, no matter what they are. Even if you feel like you're a prisoner in your job at work, working for an employer who perhaps even is godless, who cares nothing about your faith, in fact, might even persecute you for it, might even know that you like to go to church on Sunday, and so he'll purposely schedule you for that swing shift on Sunday morning and also Monday night just so that you can't worship. What should you do? Go. Work diligently and faithfully, so that the light of Christ might be seen in you. Don't run from your obligation to do what is right in your vocation as a Christian. Employers, maybe you feel a bit trapped as Christian employers in your business. It's so hard to find good help. Today, so many employees complain about their work, and they just want to stick it to the man, and, well, that's you. They might not have any regard for the fact that you might be a Christian businessman, that you care for your employees, that you're kind to your workers, even if they don't deserve it, even if they try to take advantage of your kindness, your generosity, and your love displayed in Christ, in your fruits of faith. Be faithful in your work. Be faithful with your employees. Perhaps you feel imprisoned today by age, by your health. You can't do what you used to be able to do. You need help with this or that. You aren't able to drive. You can't help with common tasks anymore. Don't resent that vocation in life. God has placed you there. Be fruitful by being helped and being grateful for the help that others can provide. Be fruitful by being served, knowing that you're giving others an opportunity to display Christian love through you. Young parents, do you ever feel imprisoned in your home? You can't do what you wanted. You're being held against your will, and for what? For children that rarely say thank you, if ever at all. Don't resent your good work, even if they may not thank you for years. God has placed you there, and it's wonderful work. Good and blessed work. Not only does Onesimus have a Christian duty to go back, Paul also speaks to Philemon about his Christian duty as well. The boss has a Christian duty to receive Philemon or Onesimus as a brother. He says, "I have sent him, who is my very heart, back to you. Welcome him," he says. What would that mean? Well, for one Christian brother to another Christian brother, regardless of your societal arrangement and relationship, you owe him at the very least forgiveness. Forgiveness in Christ. Forgiveness? Absolutely. For running away from stealing from me? Yes, we forgive. Continued kindness. We don't treat others as their sins deserve. We treat them with kindness in spite of the wrongs that they may have done to us. See in this text how Paul is offering himself up as a model, an example of the Good Samaritan. If he's wronged anything or taken anything from you, charge it to me. I'll repay the debt. That's forgiveness. Paul's duty as a Christian for these two brothers to bring them reconciliation. So too, he asks Philemon to show the love of Christ for this servant who had run away. Onesimus could be free of that, forgiven. He urges Philemon to do that which Christ does, to forgive him. What is more, could Paul possibly be asking Philemon to set him free? Perhaps. Paul says, perhaps this is why he was separated from you for a while, so that you would have him back forever. No longer as a slave, but as more than a slave, as a dear brother. He certainly is dear to me, but he's even more of a dear brother to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Whatever their societal relationship going forward, even if it is still master and servant, he is a brother in the faith in the flesh and a brother in faith in the Lord. Nothing is better in all the world. Nothing is better than to have a brother in the faith, a brother in Christ, someone who shares that fellowship, that bond of reconciliation through Jesus Christ, and then reconciliation to each other too. But perhaps Paul's implying even more, that Philemon would set him free and send him back to continue to serve Paul. Paul says, I wanted to keep him with me so that he might serve me in your place while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that your kindness would not be the result of compulsion, but of willingness. Perhaps Paul is implying that Philemon might be set free so that he could come back and serve and work with Paul as a dear brother and fellow missionary. And there's the heart of the lesson too, isn't it? Kindness. Usefulness. It's done not under compulsion, but from a willing heart in love. And so he closes, yes, brother, I am asking for a favor from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. So faith produces willing hearts that are eager to be useful, eager to serve, happy to do even more than what is requested as a favor of kindness for the love that we have been shown in our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. Just as Paul had said before in verses 8 and 9, even though I have plenty of boldness in Christ to order you to do what is proper, I am appealing to you instead on the basis of love. Otherwise, we're still imprisoned by our own sinfulness. It's compulsion that is required of the sinful flesh. But it's willingness that is delighted and consents to be a prisoner of Christ, so that we can be useful in showing kindness to one another because of it. What lessons we have for us in this short letter to Philemon. Duty, integrity, forgiveness, Christian fellowship. As we see how Jesus makes us useful in our lives, he makes us useful in our service to each other. And we serve each other and God. We serve God and all people with our lives. And we do that in whatever vocation it is that God has granted to us, whether we're single or married, whether we're young or old, rich or poor, father, mother, son, daughter, employer, or employee, just as Luther outlines in his table of duties. So many different vocations to which God calls us. Each one is an opportunity to serve our neighbor in faithful love. And by God's grace and his peace, Jesus makes us useful in those vocations. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Savior. Amen.